And welcome into your AvWeb AudioCast for this Friday, March 28th, 2008, from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine. Today's report is brought to you by Light Plane Maintenance, the magazine with practical maintenance advice for owners and pilots. The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New York struck down a passenger rights law this week that was pushed through the New York State Legislature by the Coalition for Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. And to get an update on this and some other recent developments, we have Kate Hanai, the executive director and founder of the group, on the line with us today. And Kate, a major setback this week?
That's what happened. The New York law was passed. It was upheld with the first appeal by a good judge, Judge Kahn, who was a Clinton appointee, and then three very conservative judges who heard the expedited appeal by the airlines, and they were all three Bush appointees, and I don't mean to make this partisan, it's just the truth. They walked in, and I was in the room for all of the appeals, and I heard their questions, and I actually knew the day of that appeal what was going to happen. The first judge asked the New York lawyer, gee, what about trans fat in the snacks? If there's trans fat in the snacks, is that going to be a problem? And the second judge said, well, if you're in first class, will you get a glass of wine? And I went, oh, no, they don't get it at all, what it's like to be stuck with screaming babies that don't have diapers or formula, and you have no food, and you've got medical events going on board, and you can't go to the bathroom. They don't get it.
Well, the judges didn't seem to have a problem with the law. They just said it was a federal issue, right?
Of course. They said something needs to be done, and it needs to be done federally. And they said it's sad, it's horrifying. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but that they didn't think it was up to the states. Now, here's where my argument with that is. I don't think that when we buy a ticket that we contract for a service that includes being stuck on the tarmac, in my case, for 9 hours and 17 minutes without food or water, with overflowing toilets and no medical care and no access to our luggage. I don't think that's part of the service that we contract for. I think that's outside, way outside the realm of what it is we think we have contracted for with the airline. And I think a distinction needs to be made.
So who specifically is pushing to get these laws overturned?
Well, of course, the Air Transport Association, which is the industry apology group. I testified 4 days ago for the California law. I couldn't believe it, and I now know why. I found out later that our 9th district is the hardest district for them to deal with in terms of preemption, because there's already a law on the books, a precedent that's been set here, whereby it says the states have the right with regard to the distribution of food and beverages to regulate, and they can do that and supersede the Fed. And so the ATA and an executive or principal from every single airline showed up to protest the California bill. And the California bill is really not much different than the New York bill, other than it does allow the passenger to sue.
So this ruling in New York doesn't affect the California law, right?
I wondered that, and I actually found out through a reporter. I tried to get a hold of Mark Leno, who's pushing the law. At about 8 o'clock the morning, I heard about this law being overturned. You guys are on the East Coast, you're 3 hours ahead of me, or on Central Time, 2 hours ahead. It's my understanding that he said he thinks he'll have the California law done in 1 month, and that he's going to stand there, stand behind his guns, and we're there with him. And we've got all of the California consumer groups, just like we do federally, all behind us.
They're already lining up to challenge the California law, I'm sure.
Oh, it'll be appealed. And the other thing is, everyone would prefer the feds to step in and pass a bill. Everyone wants the federal government to do something. But our Senate, unfortunately, according to everyone I've talked to, has become that place where all good bills go to die. You know, the House of Representatives, which, you know, I'm very proud of, I have to tell you that Jerry Costello himself personally called me and we spoke, and he said, I don't want you to be discouraged. He said, this is actually a good thing. This is going to convince Congress and the Senate that they must move forward with federal legislation. And you're going to see people coming out of the woodwork now saying, okay, Now we realize that something has to be done federally because the states aren't going to do it. And the Department of Transportation, which I'm on a task force on, although they are doing an ANPRM and they're moving very slowly, and we have this task force and we have these meetings, it's all, a lot of it, I think, kind of a for show thing, because none of these people are going to be with us in a year. And I believe that what we're going to see is a few things that might be meaningful, but not food, water, and freedom. And those are the three things that we want. So our group has a lot of work ahead of it, but we're going to get it done. And one way or another, we are going to make our point. We're going to lobby on the 7th, the Senate. We're going to set up our mock jet on the 8th. We're going to invite all of the senators that have not come forward for the bill into the tent with overflowing porta potties and our 500-watt sound system with the sounds of what it sounded like in our plane with the screaming babies and the pilot and people chattering about breaking out the emergency exits and all those things. And we are going to not just invite them, we are going to let them know that if they don't show up for at least 5 minutes, and there will be a press conference, that they will go on a list, a big list that we're going to put outside on a tripod that says this senator did not want to be here or they are not showing up, and evidently they don't care about passenger rights.
Well, you're playing hardball now.
We are.
Hey, as far as the New York law, now that's done. It's over, right?
No, it's not done, actually. Here's what's going to happen. We have a preemption attorney, Burton Rubin, who drew up the amicus brief for the first and the second appeal. And we were considered and made friends of the court for both appeals. He is a genius when it comes to preemption. We're flying him out to California for the judiciary hearing on the 15th. He is going to draft a new law for the state of New York, which they are going to introduce, that is not preemptible. Also, Charles Fischello and Michael Gennaris, who I spoke to both of them yesterday, they are both trying to convince Andrew Cuomo to move forward and press the Supreme Court to hear this case. Because they believe the Supreme Court needs to weigh in one way or another. Because one way or another, we need a definite from them on how they're going to rule. And if it's negative, then so be it. Then that's another way of proving that the Congress needs to do something, but it needs to be fast. And I wish that the passengers could get an expedited hearing the way the airlines can. See, the airlines got an expedited appeal. The passengers don't get anything expedited.
Right.
We have to wait.
To change the subject a little bit,
yeah.
I believe it was last week, there was some bad weather over in, centered around the Dallas area.
Yes.
That shut down hundreds of flights. What happened that day as far as passengers contacting you?
It was very, very upsetting. I had a woman call, and I had actually been on the phone with Jim Kreitz, who's co-chairing a committee with me on the DOT task force, and he runs the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. The guy's a great guy. He's totally on our side. I told him, I said, I've got someone on the phone from Wichita Falls. They've been diverted there because of these thunderstorms, and they're telling me they haven't been let off the plane, blah, blah, blah. And so what we do is we did what we normally do. We checked flight stats. We checked FlightAware, and sure enough, that plane had been diverted. It had sat on the ground for 5.5 hours. The one thing we could not check and verify in any other way was the story from the client that was on the plane that they had not been let off. And they were saying they had not been let off and they'd not been given any food. And their wife was saying the same thing. So I went out to the media and said, okay, we've got a stranding. We've got a gentleman, and here's his phone number. And he's saying that he can't find the flight attendants. They've hidden. The pilot has apparently left the plane, and that the passengers are all in an uproar and want to leave, but can't go anywhere. It turned out that at 2.5 hours, they were allowed off the plane and given pizza and sodas, and that all of the 133 jets that day, American Airlines, that were diverted, they got everyone off the planes in 2.5 hours, and they gave them pizza and sodas. So they succeeded. Now, one thing I found out yesterday from Jim Kreitz was that was a low load factor day. Because it's spring break, most people had already gotten to their destinations, so there weren't a lot of travelers that day. So it was a lot easier for them to cancel the flights that they did and to get people off the planes than it would have been had it been a high load factor.
Well, it sounds like the airlines are reacting to you with a positive response, at least in this case.
It's a very positive reaction, and it's reality. You know, we got fooled, and that was sad. And I have to be aware now that there are going to be people that are going to try to set us up. And I don't know why that is, but now we're playing hardball. And I've been warned by a few people that there are people with the airlines that are going to try to make us look bad. And that may have been what happened. I don't know. I can't say that for sure because I don't know this person. And I'm not even going to look into it. It's just, that's what happened. I immediately sent out a retraction to all the media saying this was a false lead. I'm sorry. You know, I wouldn't have reported it had I known that he'd been able to get off the plane. But we had no way of checking that out. And somehow a reporter, Suzanne Marta from the Dallas Morning News, she was able to get that information.
All right. Kate Hedeye, Executive Director of the Coalition for the Airline Passenger Bill of Rights at www.flyersrights.com. You have a blog going also, right?
We have a blog, we have message board, we have our website, which is flyersrights.org, and we have an emergency kit. Log into our website, and they've got any kind of a problem, either inside the airport or in the plane, they can log on to that and download it to their iPod or their PDA and or their laptop, and they can then know exactly what to do. It's got our emergency number, our toll-free hotline number on it, which is 877-FLYERS-6. They can call us, and we will either, if we're flooded with calls, sometimes they go into voicemail briefly, and then we call them back, or we answer, and we help them, and it's all free.
Comments on this audio cast, welcome audio news at afweb.com. Today's report was brought to you by Light Plane Maintenance, practical maintenance advice for owners and pilots. You can learn more or subscribe at www.lightplane-maintenance.com. For AfWeb Audio, I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.